If you would turn to Revelation 14, 8 through 13, our Sunday school lesson this morning is entitled, Babylon is Fallen. And we read of this in this passage in Revelation, chapter 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, from our previous lessons, we have learned that the tribulation period will be one of much gospel preaching. Now, that's hard to imagine under the conditions that will occur, but God shows us that within that period of time, there is going to be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, followed by a God-sent angel who will preach the everlasting gospel. Now, the everlasting gospel is the gospel that has no end. It's a gospel with this message to fear God and to give glory to Him and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. That is the everlasting gospel. It will always be. It will never end. There will never be a requirement not to fear God. There will never be a requirement to not give Him glory. There will never be a requirement to not worship Him. So this is the gospel that will be carried throughout all the endless ages of eternity. But included in this gospel for this tribulation time is the warning that the hour of His judgment is come. We're headed for that. We can see it coming. We know the earth is worthy of His judgment. His judgment must come in order for God to exercise His sovereignty over His creation. Now, time as we know it will fade fast, for God's judgment and purging is a must in order for His Son, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that He is your Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that He is personal to you. But it's a must in order for His Son to sit on the throne in Jerusalem for His millennial reign. There is a great time of preparation that takes place in order for our Savior to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And we learn that much of that judgment has to do with Babylon. For in verse 8, we learn by the cry of the second angel of Babylon's fall. Now, this same Babylon in Revelation 17 is described in this way. She is called Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. So Revelation 17 and 18, chapters which are a little bit further down in the study, expound on what is called Babylon the Great. Now she is called a great harlot, sitting on seven mountains, many waters, nations, and languages, and she is in concert with rulers of nations, where she prostitutes herself with the world's merchants, who also sell themselves to her for wealth. This is Babylon the Great. Now, the message that Babylon is fallen is again announced in chapter 17, verse 2, and her activity is described in verse 3. Now, pay attention to these things, because her activity is described here, which describes her. In verse 2 of chapter 17, "And he," that is the angel, "cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen." Remember, the angel said that in chapter 14. Well, the angel again says this in chapter 17, and he says it twice. "Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations," it says, "have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And in verse 4, the call is given from heaven to come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now there's a calling out, and this calling out of God's people is the same calling to not receive the mark of the beast, a mark which all must have to take part in her delicacies. Now, the Babylon of the Old Testament provides us with that which we need to know in order to interpret the Babylon of Revelation. We've said this before, but you can find the seeds of the events in the book of Revelation in the Old Testament, where the seed was planted and the full flower of that seed takes place in the book of Revelation. So the Babylon of the Old Testament provides us with that which we need to know in order to interpret the Babylon of Revelation. The seed of the Babylon of Revelation was planted in the Babylon of the Old Testament. Now, a principle of planting. What's a principle of planting? Well, it's that one seed results in many seeds. Now, have you ever counted the seeds that come from a tomato plant fell where you plant, well, you don't plant seeds anymore, but somebody plants a seed and you take all the tomatoes off of that plant, and do you get one seed back? No, you get a multitude of seeds, do you not? You get a multitude of seeds. God gives us lessons there in the planting of seeds. So a principle of planting is that one seed results in many seeds. There's another principle of Scripture, is that when you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. Oh, how important that is, parents, to think about when you sow the wind. What will come about, perhaps, will be that your children will sow the whirlwind. You know, your weaknesses sometimes are reflected and multiplied in your children. So it's so important to have a tight ship in your home where those weaknesses are not projected out into your children and where they grow in a multitude of ways. So the Babylon of old, great as she was, is expanded thousands of fold in the Babylon of the end times. Now, Ezekiel 17:4 referred to the Babylon of old as a city of merchants. Now, that's the thing about the Babylon of Revelation. that connects us to the Babylon of old, that she was referred to as a city of merchants. Now, archaeological finds from the Babylon of old detail a flourishing free enterprise system with great merchant activity from all parts of the world. She was the center of the world, the center of mercantile activity. She was the New York City of the ancient world, the financial center, where the merchants came to trade. It is the seed plot of the world system of capitalism and commerce that we find today. And this connection of the Babylon of old and the Babylon of Revelation is very clear when we read in chapter 18 of the results of its fall during the tribulation. Now listen to this and look at the results of the fall of this Babylon. In verse 9 of chapter 18, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." What did we see in 01? The smoke of her burning. That was simply a small taste. "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.'" That's the worst thing that could ever happen. Nobody's buying. Why aren't you buying? Because buying is life itself to the merchant. "The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thyan wood and all manner of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odors, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves." John must have been given a vision of Walmart when he wrote this. Look at all the goods. Look at all the variety of things. You know, shop here, everything is here. And he describes it almost in a way that you get tired of hearing it. "And souls of men," notice that, he adds, "and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all." They're all gone. "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her," rich by who? Babylon, "shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls.'" So what are we seeing here? We're seeing a Babylon that started out as a city, a real city, a center of commerce, a world financial center. We see that city turning into an ideology, a world system of self-reliance, a system devoid of God, a system of Satan which excludes God from life or God's will for his creation. That's what we see in Babylon, a city apart from God. Now, it is not a religion within the normal definition of religion, but it is a way of life. Now, many in our country describe this way as the American dream. a social ideal that stresses egalitarianism and especially material prosperity. That's what the American dream is all about. Material prosperity, egalitarianism. Everybody ought to have the American dream. The American dream is a set of ideals in which freedom includes the opportunity for prosperity and success and an upward social mobility through hard work. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong? I shouldn't say there's nothing wrong with that. There's everything wrong with that because there's no God in the American dream. Now, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Babylon says, "No, follow me, and you will find everything you need in me." That's what Babylon says. Follow me, and you will find everything you need in me. This is the message of the merchants. Everything that you need, I have to satisfy your need. God says, "No, I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know that passage in Revelation 18 where we read about the variety of goods, which included slaves and even the souls of men. John added that because that is the result of the way of Babylon. Those are the objects, the pearls, the fine linen, the silk, the scarlet and the wood, the oil and the flour and the wheat and the sheep. Those are the objects of worship in the city of Babylon. So materialism is the religion of the world, which is a religion excluding the true God. Materialism is the religion that has no bounds. It has no doctrinal barriers. It has no limits. It has no fences to limit its extent. Materialism crosses all borders. Materialism reaches into every heart in the world. Peace and unity through trade is the mantra of Babylon. Don't let principles get in the way of trade, for in Babylon, global trade is what makes merchants wealthy. Now, God's holy word tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, think of that in light of Babylon. The love of money is the root cause of all evil. So all evil results from the pursuit of money, which is what Babylon is all about. The world system, ruled by the prince of the power of the air, is materialism, a belief system promoted by capitalism. As Revelation 17:6 and Revelation 18:24 tell us, Babylon is responsible for the death of every righteous person who has ever been killed unjustly. Read that in Revelation 17:6. "And I saw the woman," now the woman is Babylon, "drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And then in Revelation 18:24, "And in her," Babylon, "was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So if you are careful and you look back and trace, the pursuit of money is the cause of all wars and conflicts. What moved the Romans to invade nations? What moved them to plunder their wealth? What moved them to use their people as products to sell? It was greed for power and money. You know, we've seen our military fighting wars and dying to keep the American dream alive. Not wars so that we could continue to serve God and worship God, but wars that so we could continue to buy and sell, thus satisfying the dictates of Babylon. So when our enemies bring death and destruction to our shores, what do we hear? Do we hear the call to pray? No, we hear the call to shop. I remember our president telling us that after 2001. Go out and shop. Satisfy the dictates of Babylon. You know, Jesus said, "Take no thought of what ye shall eat or drink, or what ye shall wear." That's what our Jesus said. What does Babylon say? It says, "Take all thought." Take all thought. Put all of your life into the thought about what you should eat and what you should drink and what you should wear. Diametrically opposed doctrines, are they not? You know, greed, one of the doctrines of Babylon, is what moves the modern world. Like it or not, that's what moves the modern world. Now, by reading Revelation 17, 1 through 7, we will see this Babylon and what moves her. We will also see God's view of this world system and how it robs the souls of men and God's conclusion to the matter. God has a conclusion to every matter, does he not? You know, God is the final conclusion. When God brings down the gavel, that's the conclusion of the matter. And it's always concluded by our God. Now, Revelation 17, 1 through 7 reads thusly. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and the ten horns." Now God gives us here a picture of a woman bedecked with jewels and pearls and gold, holding a golden cup in her hand, full of the evidence of her greed. And by her attire, she communicates to the world wealth. She communicates wealth of the world. But it's also told here that the wealth of the world has been gotten by abominations and filthiness, by clever manipulations, by movement of money from one place to another, by trickery and manipulation. For the high qualities of Babylon are self-glorification, pride, complacency, reliance on luxury and wealth, avoidance of suffering, which are all marks of idolatry. So we have this religion in Babylon, which is idolatry. Now, these marks are diametrically opposed to all that Christ stands for and we're told are not to be found in his children. You know, John in his first epistle warns us of being a citizen of Babylon, holding to her values. In 1 John 2, 15 and 16, which Adam has expounded upon very well, he writes this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See how diametrically opposed these two systems are. The Christian way, the world's way, diametrically opposed. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. God gives us black and God gives us white. We're to walk in the light. We're to be in the white. We're not to be in the black. Oh, it's so easy in this body of sin to go back and forth, is it not? And the world passeth away. That's what Jesus is telling us. Why would you invest your life in something that passes away? That's the world's message. Materialism is the world's message. Oh, yes, I'll pass away, but what a good time you'll have. And Jesus says, that passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, John, in the book of Revelation, under the power of the Holy Spirit, does not mince words as he describes this woman, this Babylon the Great, as the mother of harlots. Not just a harlot, but the mother of harlots, the mother of prostitutes, the mother of those who debase themselves for money and quick profit. That's the principle that is wrapped up in those words. Who debase themselves for money and quick profit. For this world system is one of prostitution, one where men and women debase themselves, promoting an unworthy cause and selling themselves for the purpose of ill-gotten gains. You know, you think about the billions upon billions of through the ages who have dedicated themselves at the altar of this woman. The Bible says, seek not to be rich. Seek not to be rich. Now, if God gives you riches, that's fine. No problem with that. But the seeking of riches is what corrupts, what will bring corruption. So Jesus asked this penetrating question: for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See the message of Scripture? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, what do? They grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, the striving of the gaining of the world demands payment of the soul. For this is the price of success for the citizens of Babylon. Now, in Revelation 17:9, we're told this: and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And this verse is amplified by verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So we have a combination of a sitting place for Babylon, the city. Now, much of the study of Revelation through the ages has indicted Rome as Babylon, for Rome sits on seven hills. But notice this woman sits on seven mountains, and her sitting place is described as peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. This is a worldwide sitting place. This woman is sitting on the world in a worldwide position. So I conclude that Babylon is a worldwide city, for it is a worldwide ideology. Now, sitting on mountains, sitting on seven mountains, the word seven, completeness. Sitting on all the mountains indicates completeness of power and extent. For another aside, there are seven continents in the world, sitting on all the continents of the world. For her power and influence, that this is a material world, is complete, and her reach is into all of the continents of the world. So this is what I describe as Babylon, the world system of commerce that the world operates by. But we see her destruction. There's a time when she is destroyed, for we see, who do we see weeping and wailing? We see the merchants weeping and wailing as this mercantile system is destroyed. Now, another thing that is so amazing is that there will be war against her. For we are told in Revelation 17, 16, that the beast hates the harlot. Now think about that in light of what is taking place in the world today. In verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest, those are the 10 kings, and the beast that arises from the 10 kings, these shall hate the harlot. Who's the harlot? Babylon. The beast hates this harlot, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. Now, the beast with seven heads and 10 horns, we have identified as the Antichrist. And along with the 10 horns, or the 10 nations from which he arises, they hate the harlot. Now, we're not going to go into a study of the horns and the heads, but the thing we see here is a war taking place against this material system. Now, another verse that astounds here is in verse 17. Notice this, for God did put in their hearts. Whose hearts? The 10 horns and the beast. And to come to one mind, and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God should be accomplished. Now, as we study things to come, our focus is always on the Middle East. We believe that at the end of the church age, with its focus on the Western world, the world center will again be toward the East. You can see that playing out as we decline in power. The United States has to decline in power in order for these things to come about. Now, we see also in our history today, in current events, we saw it this week, a rise in opposition to the West and opposition to its values. And much of that opposition is expressed against materialism, which brings a mindset to do anything that brings pleasure. That's what materialism does. It brings a mindset to do anything that brings pleasure. I can play with this. I can do this. I can do all of these things because the merchants provide. Now, God has used the wicked to bring judgment against nations. And we see here in verse 17 that God did put in their mind to give their kingdom unto the beast, and the beast aims his power at the harlot, the present world system, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her utterly with fire. We're seeing that in the world today. Preparation towards this time. You know, we see things that are happening today that are leading to this confrontation between the West and the East, the values that are there. So the clash of values is clear as the nations of the Middle East take sides against the move of the harlot to influence their way of life. You know, it's a well-known fact, and it seems to be coming out so clearly in our time. We didn't sense it in the last 50 years ago, but it was there, and we see it now that these nations hate the West. especially America, which is prostituting itself to the harlot completely as it goes down its godless path. Every step we take toward in the godless path that we go down is an affront to the values that they hold in the Muslim religion. Now, think about what would America be today if the church exited this land. Think about the absence of the salt of the earth as the rapture occurs and how this is going to multiply. Or think about what will be taking place in 20 years. Think about the trend that we're going down and seeing what it will be in 20 years. It certainly is headed toward this kind of confrontation. But notice that scripture, and he shall eat her flesh. Now, he's talking about this world system, eating the flesh of this world system. Now, eating flesh requires small bites, small bites, small bites, small bites. And this is what we're seeing around the world with these terrorist activities, small bites against this system. We're seeing the fall of economic systems in countries in Europe, small bites, small bites. And we're seeing our own country falling in an economic way. Now, the tribulation period has not yet begun, but events which lead up to it may have already begun as we see the eating of the flesh of the economic system of the world as country after country cry out for economic help. So we may be seeing the seed plot of the beast's all-out effort to bring the harlot to the fire of judgment. This is God gave them the mind to do this. God's ways are not my ways, but he will bring about his conclusion to the matter. Some of these things are conjecture. I admit that they're a conjecture, but the scriptures are opening up to us, I believe. The closer we get to these times, I think the scriptures will open up to us because we'll see events in a different way in accordance with the book of Revelation. Father, we are thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful, Father, that we can look and learn. And we pray, Father, that you'd help us to have clear minds about what is taking place. But Lord, help us not to fear what is taking place, but help us to trust. Help us to know that these things must come about for the millennial kingdom to be ushered in for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful so much for that promise. Help us, Lord, to walk in that promise, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.